You could get out of the boat and walk on water like Peter, or fall to your knees and stay in one place. No matter what you do, Christ's love for you is unchanging. Fearful or brave, faithful or doubting, Christ is always walking toward you. So hear and believe this good news. God's love is stronger than any storms. On our best days and on our worst days, we are seen, forgiven, and loved. God is always walking toward you. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us continue in prayer. Holy God, there are days when the wind is loud. There are days when the rain tears through the trees and the storms of life beg for our attention. We pray for all those living with cancer. We lift up Cheryl, grateful that she is doing well after the removal of some skin cancer cells this week. We thank you for the encouraging report that Jeremy's dad received this week as well. We pray for Kim, facing more treatments in the week ahead. And we lift up Nate's father, now recovering after a bad infection amidst his battle with lung cancer. We pray too for our neighbor as he waits to see what the biopsy results may reveal. Give strength to Sue, who is ill and weary with cancer. And Lord, we pray for comfort for Patty and her extended family following the death of her cousin Audra from pancreatic cancer last week. Have mercy, Lord, on Carol's great-grandson, Waylon, almost two, facing lots of unknowns with his heart and cancer diagnosis. Bless Jeff's cousin, Kevin, as he heads into new treatment soon in the hopes that he can get well enough to have a bone marrow transplant some months down the road. We lift up Darlene's niece working out treatments for breast cancer while living in Belize, and her brother Boyd, who is to have a procedure to try to fix heart rhythm problems. We pray too for Darlene's son-in-law, Jeff, who had open heart surgery this week. Be with Sue and her family following the death of her mother. Comfort them as they mourn. God, it's all so much. So just as you stilled the wind and the sea, still our wandering hearts and quiet our restless minds, we thank you for all those we've been praying for who came home from the hospital this week. Thank you, God, that Eddie is recovering well now and back home following treatments for cellulitis in his hand, and that Sue is home too after a hospital stay for colitis. We thank you that Carolyn is home after a scare this week that took her to the ER for heart issues. Thank you that Tara's niece, Raven, and her son, Enzo, are both home doing well now. Thank you, God, for all of our awesome Stone Church children that bring energy and life into this space. We ask you to watch over Rena and Quinera this week. Thank you for some progress on Quinera's GI issues. Be with Kevin in rehab. Help him to find his way, Lord. Bless Rosina as she recovers from COVID. Watch over Tara's dad as he continues to recover from pneumonia and other health issues. Reach out your hand to us all. Pull us into your presence. With one foot out of the boat, we pray. All who we pray here, Lord, hear too our prayers for all those who are in abusive relationships. especially children. We pray with much gratitude for those working at the Huntingdon County Humane Society and Center County Paws. We give abundant thanks for their fortitude amidst heart-wrenching suffering, their commitment to offering loving companionship while finding healthy new homes. May your blessings, God, of strength and hope continue to sustain and uplift them. Lord, we pray for Tyree, whose hearing this week was encouraging, but not the end. Bless him as he awaits a new hearing now set for May 14th. Lord, we pray for our world, for an end to the violence, an end to wars and rumors of wars. We pray for our nation, for the wisdom and courage and the grace to make this country and our world a better place together. God, we believe that you move toward us when the storms rage, inviting us to be brave. We believe that even the wind and the waves obey you, and we believe you are a God of love. So work in us, work through us. We are not afraid. Amen.
We all know this scene. Coyote, right on the heels of the roadrunner. He is really gonna catch that bird this time. And then all of a sudden, roadrunner puts on an extra burst of speed, kicking up thick dust all around them. And when the dust clears, we see Coyote, who has run off a cliff, somehow defying gravity as he makes his way through the air. Right up until he realizes where he is. He looks out at the audience, and then down, and then back at us, before falling deep into the canyon. And every time I wonder, would he have made it if he had just resisted the urge to look down? All week, I have been picturing Peter like the coyote, breaking the fourth wall as he looks out at us, the readers, and his eyes get huge just before he sinks. But let's back up a little bit for the full context of this story. We begin this section of scripture with the first of three immediately's that all occur in just this one short story. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead of him while he dismissed the crowds and went up onto a mountain to pray. This immediately is what follows the story we heard a couple of weeks ago, where Jesus and the disciples fed more than 5,000 people who had gathered to hear him preach. So after this huge outpouring of time and energy, Jesus pulls away to pray and to renew. And he has the disciples get away from it all as well. In the dark of the early morning, and with waves and wind battering them, the disciples look out across the water and see what they assume to be a ghost walking towards them. And they are completely freaked out. They are terrified. They are crying out, "What in the world is this?" Immediately. This is our second immediately. Immediately after they cry out in fear, Jesus responds. "Don't be afraid," he says. "It's I. It's Jesus." Two Sundays in a row, we've gotten this reassurance from Jesus. Don't be afraid. Easier said than done, I am sure. When you see someone walking on water, is it more or less reassuring that it's Jesus and not a ghost? Either way, Peter decides to test the water, so to speak. "Lord," he says, "if it's really you, command me to come out onto the water." What in the world is he thinking? Is Peter trying to prove himself? Like, "I've got this discipleship thing done, let me show you." Does he think that Jesus will tell him, "Oh no, Peter, just stay in the boat, it's fine"? Or that if it's not Jesus, somehow Peter will be able to tell by the answer Jesus gives or not Jesus gives? Can Peter even swim? I'm not sure that this is a well thought through request on Peter's part. It seems important, though, that we recognize that Peter is the one who is initiating all of this, not Jesus. Jesus does not say, "If you believe in me, put your life at risk by trying something that only I can do." And yet, at Peter's request, Jesus does tell Peter to come. And for a moment, Peter does. He gets out of the boat and moves toward Jesus until he realizes that the wind is blowing hard and the waves are high. And then he begins to sink. In his desperation and his fear, he cries out, "Lord, rescue me!" And here's our third immediately. "Lord, rescue me!" Immediately, Jesus reaches out his hand and catches him. He was right there, close enough to immediately pull Peter right out of the water. And I think Jesus' tone of voice matters a lot in how we hear the rest of this story. Most of us were taught that Jesus is chastising Peter. "Geez, Peter, your faith is so small. Why did you sink?" But what if this is not a failure of faith after all? Because when Peter got out in over his head, he calls out to Jesus. He doesn't call to his friends in the boat. He calls to Jesus. And that seems pretty faithful to me. And it seems pretty important that Jesus is right there. So what if instead of hearing Jesus' response as a fussing at him, What if we hear Jesus' voice more like a parent who is helping their child learn to walk? And that child, of course, falls after they take a step. What if Jesus is like Peter? You who have a little bit of faith, you have room to grow. I'm pretty sure I've only ever heard this story told as Peter failing. But I'm starting to wonder that maybe this isn't just the way faith works. That we all have times when we get in over our heads and need help. And I'm really starting to worry about the ways in which we frame needing help as a failure. What if the big message in this story is not that Peter failed, or that he was dumb and so he needed help? Because of course he needed help. We all need help. Of course he got scared. We all get scared. Of course he second-guessed. We all do. So what if the big message is that when those normal, natural things happened, Jesus was right there immediately. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. The scripture doesn't say Jesus had to run towards him on the water or dive into the waves and swim there. Jesus reached out his hand because he was right there, next to him. It's possible that you feel like you are failing at faith right now, or that you have felt like that at some point. Possible that you are afraid of failing, so you don't even want to try something new. Or that you don't want to ask for help because it will make you feel like you are failing. Take heart, Jesus says to his disciples then and to his disciples now. Take heart and do not be afraid. Caroline Lewis suggests that Jesus is really saying, you are going to have to lead, live, and love with your heart, Peter. You know who I am. Deep down in your heart, you know me, and you know I will be right there. Trust yourself. Trust your heart. Jesus' words call Peter back to himself, back to his truth, back to his heart, back to his faith. Take heart, family of faith. No matter where you are wandering, no matter where we are wandering, Jesus is right here, blessing us with rescue and with grace. One last thing. At the end of this story, Peter and all those disciples who have witnessed it, they're all closer to Jesus, not further away. The scripture says they recognize Jesus as the Christ. Maybe for the first time they see him truly as the Son of God and they worship him. So this failure on the part of Peter brings everyone involved into a more full and whole relationship with one another and with God. I kind of hope we all go out this week and fail in ways that help others move closer to Christ. Let's make it so. Amen.
Thank you.
beloved wanderers, as you leave this place, may you carry your curious hearts on your sleeves. May you look for God in every face. May you find the courage to get out of the boat, to run to the tomb, and to speak of your faith. And when the world falls apart, may you hear God's voice deep within, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. You are called. You are blessed. In both your ups and your downs, you always belong to God. Go in peace, trusting that good news." Amen.